crushed under the wheel of a small armored transport. The occupants believed the long-haired elder to be a drunk from the nearby town of Moxon, but none of them could identify the face. The direction he'd apparently been traveling also gave them pause. Behind Doc was nothing but the mysterious Black Hills, a mystery which those above them in the chain of command had expressed an interest in. Doc was kept alive. There were men who would want to talk to him. He awakened in a toilet, his long legs bent and hanging over the side of a bathtub. After struggling to gain his footing, Doc looked in the cracked mirror hanging crookedly over the filthy wash basin. He squinted once, twice, and closed his pale blue eyes to refocus before taking another peek.
What carnival chest is this?
For what was looking mutely back at him wasn't his face. No, couldn't be his face, since he knew damn well the visage he was seeing was that of his own sainted father.
No more.
Doc watched his chapped lips move in the mirror's reflection.
Gods of the universe, I can take no more of this. How many more pounds of flesh can I give before nothing is left but barren white bone? Accursed speculum, why do you show me such a terrible sight?
What stared back at him from the mirror was his transformed image, skull-like and hollow-eyed, topped off by the silver-gray hair he knew was his own, matted with dirt and sweat. The hair remained healthy, but the rest of him appeared to have aged more than 30 years. He appeared to be a man of 60-plus years. At least 30 years, 3 decades of time, had been foisted upon his personage, and he remembered none of it. Doc smashed his forehead into the reflection while starting to incoherently wail at a fever pitch. He banged his head again and again, feeling the mirror glass crack under the assault and cut his forehead. Blood began to run down his bushy silver eyebrows and the left side of his long nose. Doc looked at the man in the mirror and reacted like a madman until his stomach began to violently cramp, driving him to a crouch. Feeling as though he were about to become violently, messily sick, Doc dropped his trousers and sat on the filthy toilet seat, thankful even in his current state of near insanity that he hadn't soiled himself. The metal door to the small bath chamber swung open part way, blocked from fully opening by Doc's bony knees. Doc remained hunched over the porcelain toilet, his pants around his ankles and his bare, bony knees sticking pointedly up. His stomach was gurgling, still expunging itself of the vile water he drank from a ditch many hours before. The bearded sec man threw in a dingy towel many washings removed from its original color of orange and spat out a series of orders to the captured man.
Use the tub behind the plastic curtain. Water works. Hope you like cold. When you're clean enough, you moldy old fruit, the Baron wants to talk to you.
Baron?
Such a form of address was medieval to his ears and reeked of the past. Not the future land to which Wells had so arrogantly claimed he was sending him. In a quick second, Doc's mind lost the patina of confusion he had feared to be permanent and began clicking on all 8 cylinders again. Doc wondered whether he could have been shunted back in time instead of pushed forward. The prospect was grimly appealing until he considered the appearance and manufacture of the bathroom in which he was now sitting. While it didn't look any more modern than the small bath he'd been allowed to use during his stays in Dulce in Chicago, it was certainly in much poorer condition. Leaning out from his seat, Doc pulled back the dank, slimy shower curtain and looked at the condition of the bathtub. The interior was nearly black. A green millipede as long as his forearm crawled back and forth, all 1,000 of the ghastly insect's legs trying vainly to find purchase on the walls of the enamel to crawl out to safety. Although repulsed by the sight, Doc felt a certain kinship with the many-legged insect. He, too, was trapped and scrambling for a way out, but the walls surrounding him were as smooth as pure-spun glass, and in his present condition, just as insurmountable. Choosing to wash his face and upper body in the sink, Doc had removed the layer of road dust he'd picked up on the trail, and was actually feeling halfway human again. A bar of soap would have added to the ease of bathing, but none had been offered, and he didn't dare ask. The same gray-bearded man had come to fetch him, making many unfunny comments about the way Doc had smelled up the shitter, to the amusement of the other fellow who served as his backup. Together, the three had left the bath and entered a long hallway. Once upon a time, Doc noticed, the far side of the hall had been made of nothing but inviting panes of glass, offering a view of the world outside. Now the glass appeared to have been mostly broken out, and huge slabs of plywood and scavenged metal were nailed in place to contain the walkway. One piece of metal used was cut in the shape of a colossal red circle, and a white star rested in the center. The letter T was in the middle of the star. The color red and the star itself made Doc wonder for a brief moment if he'd ended up inside the borders of Asia or one of the Soviet states. But no Russian was spoken, and the design of the hall furnishings ended this line of thought, as well as seeing the sign's mate farther along, and this time the word Texaco could be easily read.
Texas. Funny. I've been through Houston, and it does not feel hot enough for Texas.
The comment earned him two things, a snarled,
"Shut your mouth!"
and a whack to the back of the head from the butt of the rifle held by the second guard. While the blow wasn't hard enough to send Doc crashing into unconsciousness, or even send him sprawling to his knees, it was ample and unexpected enough to shake his brain loose from the coherent mooring he'd reestablished, and start him careening from topic to topic once more inside his damaged mind. After the long walk down the side hall, Doc and his captors entered through a large double door into a great room, a high-ceilinged monstrosity. The room was empty, barren of any decoration or furniture. Industrial carpet of olive green had been laid upon the floor, muffling the sound of footsteps. A second carpet, this one of royal red, stretched across the expanse like a lazy tongue that led to a mouth of equally red draperies, slightly parted. Soft, flickering light was escaping from the gap left in the massive curtains, which helped cover the worn condition of the carpets underfoot, royal red and olive green, equally ratty and dirty.
Come in.
A figure behind the curtains beckoned. For a moment, Doc's addled mind proposed the possibility he was but an actor, waiting to go on and deliver his latest performance. Trying to remember his lines, he stopped walking for a second and struck a pose, one hand on a hip and the other one extended, palm up, just so.
You got a problem?
All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages.
The new figure stepped out from behind the curtains and took in the sight of Doc and the waiting guards. He smiled, and it was phony and insincere. A cold-hearted smile, belonging to a cold-hearted man. It was a smile with no joy, a cruel twisting of the lips, like a pasted-on appliqué. A dead smile.
Greetings, friend. And who might you be? I hope I have not missed my cue.
My name is Strasser, Court Strasser. And you haven't missed a damn thing, old man. In fact, you're just in time for the festivities.
Fancy that.
Fancy that.
Making an after-you motion and holding out a hand to the gap in the curtains, Strasser stepped aside, the smile across his lower face frozen in place as he waited for Doc to move. As the older gent passed, squinting to see as he entered the dimly lit room beyond the curtains, Strasser cupped him across the back of the head, causing Doc to stumble forward. He managed to break his fall with his hands, but still landed painfully on his knees, which seemed to have developed all new aches and pains after his latest Matran's cron jump.
I'll have none of that crazy babbling, old man. Stuff about entrances and exits. Keep it up, and the only exit you'll be taking is a slow train west, get me? I've already heard enough of your wailing and crying. If you try and embarrass me in front of the Baron, I'll chew you on the spot. One slug right to the head, okay?
Take heart that I meant no embarrassment. The words, sir, the words I spoke come from the bard. And William Shakespeare, for all of his faults, was far from crazy.
Strasser's face was visibly angry, even in the subdued lighting of the white room.
Do I look like I give a good long happy shit?
I must confess, no, you do not.
So, you aren't a total half-wit.
Doc didn't reply as he carefully looked around the room in which he knelt. The lighting was as bad as what passed for illumination outside in the great hall. But at the same time, the room still seemed bright because of an abundance of mirrors. On the walls, mounted in freestanding racks, on the ceiling above. And in the mirrors were the reflections of lighted candles. Candelabra were placed on a series of small tables that Doc would have recognized as being old even during his boyhood, so this Baron had to have an affection for antiques. The scent of incense hung in the air, thick and heavy, almost covering other, more undesirable smells of body odor and decay.